Well, if you're new, this is Holy Humor. So if you came expecting a sermon, you're going to be disappointed. We're going to have some jokes and stories here today. So I know you're Presbyterian, but try to stretch. A little relaxation, a couple of deep breaths, and here we go. A little girl asked her mother, "Mom, where do people come from?" Mother answered, "Well, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's how humanity was made." A couple days later, a little girl asked her father the same question. Father answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys, which the human race evolved from." A confused little girl returned to her mother and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me that we were created by God, and Dad told me that we came from monkeys?" And the mom said, "That's simple. I was talking about my side of the family." A small town had four churches, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Catholic, and a Baptist. All four had serious problems with squirrels in the church. Each church had fashioned its own meeting and got a plan to deal with the problem. The Presbyterians just decided that the squirrels were predestined to be there and left them alone. The Methodists decide that they should teach the squirrels lovingly the styles of Charles Wesley. They humanely trap them, release them at a park at the edge of town, and within 3 days, all the squirrels were back. The Catholics also humanely trap them and teach them try to teach them each a rule of life that would help them to be more disciplined as squirrels. It did not work. The Baptists, however, had the best solution. They voted the squirrels all as new members of their church. And now they only show up on Christmas and Easter. As a man and his family drove home from work, he started complaining, or from church, he started complaining about everything. He said the music was too loud, the sermon was too long, the church announcements were unclear, the building was hot, the people were unfriendly. He went on and on and on complaining about the church. Finally, his observant son said, "Dad, you've got to admit, it wasn't a real bad show for just a dollar." I read the other day about a monarch in the Old Testament. He was only 12 inches tall. He was a terrible king, but he was a great ruler. As the Sunday school teacher described how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, little Jimmy interrupted and raised his hand. He said, "My mommy looked back once while driving. She turned into a telephone pole." Everybody knew the roof was leaking, but the church had kept putting off fixing it and putting off fixing it. And finally, the ceiling was looking like it was about ready to fall. And so they said, "We have got to do something." And the pastor got up and they held a congregational meeting and said, "We have got to raise money." During the meeting, a wealthy member, known wealthy member in the congregation, rose up from his seat and committed $300 to the project. And right in that moment, a piece of the ceiling fell and hit him right in the head. Somebody in the back of the church yelled, "Hit him again, Lord!" Pastor dies and goes to heaven. He's standing in a long line waiting at heaven's gates, where each person is welcomed by St. Peter individually. He starts chatting with the person in front of him, who tells him he's a New York City cab driver while he was alive. After a long while, the line slowed moving forward. The pastor noticed that each person, as they were getting there, were welcomed by St. Peter, and they were given a robe and a set of wings and a staff and a brand new car. But he noticed that the quality of all of these varied. Finally, they get to the guy in front of him, this cab driver, and St. Peter says, "Well, welcome to heaven. Here is your silk robe, your satin wings, your platinum staff, and your brand new Lexus." The man drives away happy. Then the pastor reaches the front of the line. St. Peter says, here's your burlap robe, your cotton wings, your wooden staff, and your brand new VW. And the pastor said, now wait a minute. That's a cab driver. I spent my entire life in ministry as a pastor, and he was a cab driver, and he got a better reward than I did. And St. Peter said, well, you got to understand, up here, we judge people based on results. And the pastor said, well, what do you mean results? I don't understand. And St. Peter said, well, when you preached, people slept. When he drove, people prayed. Three pastors agreed that they each needed some confession time with each other because it's hard to do in the church. So they got together to earnestly pray for one another and to confess their sins. And the first one said, my problem is money. I steal money. I just can't help myself, even from the offering. I will steal. Please pray for me. And the second pastor said, mine is women. I have affairs, and I have affairs in the church, and it's really a problem. Pray for me. And the third pastor just started to weep. They finally consoled him and said, well, just confess it. You will feel better. And the third pastor said, my problem is gossiping. He said, when I hear a secret, I tell everybody I know about it. This is one of my favorites. A preacher went to visit an elderly woman from his church that had just had an operation. As he was sitting there talking with her, he noticed a bowl of peanuts on the stand next to the bed. He began to eat a peanut here, a peanut there, but they visited for a long time. And as he noticed, as he was getting ready to leave, that he had basically eaten this entire bowl of peanuts. Sister Jones, he said, I am so sorry, but I have eaten all of your peanuts. She replied, that's okay, Pastor. I already sucked all the chocolate off of those ones. The other day, my wife said to me, Jordan, I don't think you're listening to a word I'm saying. And I thought, that's a really weird way to start a conversation. So a couple stories for you. I had a couple of interesting funerals this year. Maybe one of the wildest ever. One was rather simple. It was a good funeral. It was fine, except there was a family that had a little child that was in the funeral. And I'm really trying to, with children, be encouraging and say to the parents, you know, like, I have kids, and it's not a big deal. I could probably preach this thing through a hurricane, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to say that anymore to parents, because this child yelled the entire service and ran up and down the aisle the entire service, and then at one point even ran towards me. I'm kind of angled in the pulpit like this, and he ran towards me with a train over his head, like he was going to javelin a train at me. And he didn't, praise God. But I did stop the funeral and like kind of looked at him. The worst part was, after the funeral, I promise you, this mom came up to me and said, well, he did pretty good, didn't he? And I want to confess to you, church, that I lied to that mother. I said, yeah, he did pretty good. But the wildest funeral I've ever been a part of, some of you have heard pieces of this, but I got a call from a funeral director. And the funeral director said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I thought, that's not a good start. You know what I mean? Already, I'm like, we normally get a few days notice on this. But the funeral director told me that this family had a pastor who was supposedly a friend of the family and was going to come do the service. But the part of the family he was dealing with did not know that pastor's name. Okay? And so he wanted to confirm that, you know, the funeral's tomorrow. We need to confirm the pastor. But they couldn't give him a name or a church that he was from. And so he called me and he said to me, hey, do you think you could do this funeral? I got to have somebody. I got to know we're going to have a pastor. So I said, yeah, that's fine. I can do it. And I guess the family came in the next day, and part of the family, and said to him, yeah, I really, we're not sure if that pastor is going to show up or not. And the funeral director said, well, he better not, because I told you guys I was getting a pastor. And so he called me just to warn me, like, hey, there could be another pastor of this. What do you do with that information, right?
So all day, I'm just nervous. Like, what's going to happen when two pastors show? Is it like two alley cats and we both kind of curl and face off? Do we like sword fight with Bibles? I don't know the etiquette for this. So all day, I am worried. And then I go to the funeral that evening. And the first thing I notice, I come over here, print my funeral, because I found out about it that day before. And then I drive over there, which is what I typically do. But when I drive over there, there are probably 30 people at the funeral home, smoking, all in pajamas. They're all in pajamas. And I thought, that's odd. You know what I mean? They are all in pajamas. And so I go in, I talk to the funeral director, and he says, yeah, I guess the mom that passed away, she always wore pajamas, so they decided they were all going to wear pajamas. We're pretty sure they were all going to wear pajamas no matter what. But so I was kind of mad at this funeral director. I said, you mean I could have done a funeral in pajamas and you didn't tell me? This is a once in a lifetime opportunity and I'm not going to get to do it because I'm in a suit and they're in pajamas. So I go to the funeral director, introduces me to the one daughter. And she said, yeah, I'm going to speak because I'm the most verbal. And I thought, that's a rather technical term. You know what I mean? She didn't say, like, I'm going to, I'm better in front of people. I'm going to speak as kind of the oldest. She said, I'm the most verbal. Like, when I hear that, normally doctors are saying so-and-so is not verbal anymore. You know what I mean? It's a very technical term. Probably the accurate term, I'm just saying. But it was a little tricky. And then she said, right before the funeral, well, I really hope that other pastor doesn't show up because I'm really mad at him right now because he hasn't been calling us back. And then I thought, you mean we still might have a second pastor show up? By now, I have built this up in my head like we're going to have to wrestle. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen. I said, lock the doors. Don't let this other pastor. Don't lock the doors. Okay, so we started late because everyone felt like they needed to have another cigarette before we went. Last person to come in, smoked a cigarette down to the filter. She was 8 months pregnant, and she goes, I'm walking in. And so then we finally get this funeral started. Now, when you're staring out at a funeral of people in pajamas, I realized really quickly, I'm not preaching. There's a sermon page in this funeral. I just took that out. That was not going to happen. I knew that. I mentally prepared for that. So we get to this eulogy of this verbal woman who is going to talk about her mom. And the first thing she does when she gets up is she makes a joke. She says, well, pastor didn't say, said I wasn't supposed to talk too long, but now listen, don't do that. Like public service announcement. If you think you're going to be long, you think you shouldn't say something, don't make a joke about it. It just makes us all brace for impact. You know what I mean? Probably don't do the thing that you're trying to excuse with a joke that you shouldn't be doing. Okay? Whenever somebody turns to me as the pastor and makes that kind of joke, I know we're in trouble. Okay? Actually, we weren't in trouble. Believe it or not, crisis averted. She was verbal. And she gave a really nice eulogy and spoke very well. And I thought, crisis averted. This is great. Crisis averted. And then she said, and now I'm going to play a song. And I was like, what? We're going to play it. We didn't talk about this. We have a sound system that can do this. And then she said, if my internet will work. And I said, we're going to play a song. We haven't even tested the song. Praise God. Crisis averted. She pushes play. It starts to play. She puts it on the stand. The mic kind of picks it up. Everybody can hear it. I think, whoo, thank God we got through this one. So we're all just sort of listening to the song. About 30 seconds into the song, I notice a little bit of, I always am noticing what's going on in the crowd. I'm very aware. So I notice kind of a thing happening in the back of the room. And then a girl, she's probably 20, puts her hand up like this. And I thought, I don't have a category for this. Like, there's never been, like, I'm not Pentecostal. There's nobody raising their hand in my church services. Is she just vibing with the song? Is she just praising Jesus? What? And I begin to realize that she starts to stand up. She wants me to call on her in the middle of a eulogy, in the middle of a song when somebody's playing for a eulogy. Okay, so I did what all people do. I made a vow to not look at that part of the room, right? I just started staring at the floor, kind of vibing with the song. I'm just going to let this happen. You know what I mean? But you know when you're trying not to look at something, you're keenly aware of what happens there? Okay? This girl raising her hand, and this person I now know, I figured out is her mom, 8 months pregnant, okay, come walking up. Okay, well now nobody's listening to the song. Everybody's just watching to see how this is all going to play out. And so the woman comes up and she says, "That's the wrong song." What? And what begins to happen is about a 30-second catfight, okay, over this song. She said, "Well, that's the song you sent me." "That is not the song I sent you." "Yes, it is a song. I picked it from your text message." She said, "Well, that's the right song, but that's the wrong version. We were going to play the happy version. You're playing the sad version." Nobody is listening to the song at this point, right? We are all just like watching this train wreck occur. So we're maybe a minute into the song now, a minute and a half. And a little boy starts crying. He's maybe 10, maybe just three rows in, so clearly somebody close in the family. But when I say cry, I don't know how to describe to you the sound that this kid was making. But he's like a wounded animal, right? In the middle of the night. Like, if I imagine a wounded goat, this is what starts happening from row three. Okay? So the song is playing. Nobody's listening. Fight is happening. Wounded goat. and this is all just kind of unfolding. And finally, the woman who had played the song just said, "Well, it's already over now. Nobody's listening. We'll just have to listen to it. And later, I got to go take care of my grandchild." And she goes walking. And then the other daughter goes, or the sister goes, "Well, you already ruined it." And she starts stomping back to her seat with her daughter. And then it's my turn. And then I thought, praise God that I wasn't going to preach right here, but I had saved a poem. So I went into the poem and I did kind of get the room back and we did kind of move forward. And what are you going to do in those moments except laugh, right? What are you going to do in those moments? And I really feel like those people deserve funeral. They deserve some words of hope in those moments. And I want you to know this. The other pastor never showed. So if they hadn't brought me in, it would have just been those people in pajamas running the whole thing. And the whole drive home, I kept thinking, I can't wait for Holy Humor Sunday. Look, it's my belief that as followers of Jesus, we should be people of joy. And if we actually believe that Jesus is in everything, I think we should be noticing lots of stuff. So if I could give you one word, a word here today, is to be curious and to be joyful. Look for the humor. There's lots of garbage, lots of pain in your life, lots of bad stuff. There's also a lot of really hilarious stuff out there. And the ability to laugh is important. And that's, you hear, oh, laughter is the best medicine. But let me read to you Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. The Proverbs even say, cheerful heart, good medicine, crushed spirit dries up bones. There's a lot of crushed spirits in this world right now. And unfortunately, a lot of times Christians look every bit as crushed as everybody else. Where's our curiosity? Where's our cheerfulness? Where's our joy? Let's keep finding those things. Two more jokes. A pastor is driving back from Iowa and gets stopped for speeding in Minnesota. The officer smells alcohol in the pastor's breath, sees an empty bottle of wine on the floor of the car. He says, "Sir, have you been drinking?" "Just water," replies the pastor. Having none of this, the officer slowly and deliberately asks, "Then why do I smell wine?" Without missing so much as a beat, the pastor looks down at the bottle and says, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Three guys die together and go in an accident and go to heaven. When they get there, St. Peter says, we only have one rule in heaven. Don't step on the ducks. And they look around and there are actually a lot of ducks in heaven. And I think, well, okay, we just won't step on the ducks. But sure enough, later that day, the first man steps on a duck. And St. Peter walks over with one of the ugliest women you have ever seen and says, okay, you've stepped on a duck. Now you two are together for eternity. And the other two vow, okay, we can't step on ducks. Like, we got to not step on a duck. Sure enough, 2 days later, second guy steps on a duck. Wah. St. Peter shows up. Just terribly unattractive woman. Says, okay, you guys are stuck together for eternity. So the third guy's like, I cannot step on a duck. Like, I am not going to. So he's like scooting everywhere. He's not going to step on a duck. And about 5 days later, St. Peter comes over with a gorgeous woman. Just such an attractive model of a woman. Says, okay, you guys are together for eternity. And the guy says, I do not know what I did to gain you for eternity. The woman says, well, I don't know about you, but I stepped on a duck.